We're going to turn to our gospel reading now. And in this story, as Rick mentioned, we continue with the Epiphany themes of Jesus being revealed as the light of the world. Let us listen again for God's word. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we know that no human words can ever fully testify to the power of your grace and mercy. So we simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of us here may be acceptable in your sight. Amen. You are invited. You are invited. Few words lift us up as much as these words. You're invited! Exclamation mark. These are words that make us feel included and valued and appreciated. You're invited to attend my wedding, to celebrate my birthday, to go to the game with me. Whatever the occasion, an invitation conveys a message. You are important to me. Your presence makes a difference in my life. I don't know about you, but receiving an invitation makes my day. What doesn't feel so good is finding out that you're not invited, that you're not on the list, that you're not in, that you haven't been noticed, or that you have been noticed, but also have been pointedly left out. How many of us parents have consoled a child who has been excluded from the plans, who didn't get the invitation so many of the other children apparently received? Makes for a long, hard night. How many of us, even as adults, feel left out? And we long to be invited. Well, I wanted to share with you an open invitation I received. Some of you, I think, have seen it before. I know you've seen it before. Long before I did, this invitation has been circulating for a while. It's kind of an unusual invitation. It sort of involves your whole life. Personally, I still haven't fully responded. I've been kind of swamped lately, and the calendar's been pretty full for the past few years or decade. I mean, there's just so much to do and so much to think about. Sometimes I remember that the invitation to follow is there, but then I file it away for a while. But then something, a story from this good book, or a witness to a story from this good book, reminds me that the invitation is still there. You know how it goes. My sense is, though, that the author of the invitation can find me wherever I may go. In the words of the psalmist, that he or she is quite well acquainted with all my ways and even knows my thoughts before I do. I cannot hide from the author of this invitation. I also get the sense that the invitation's author has a kind of supernatural patience and an eternal hope. Acceptances seem to be received on a rolling basis. There doesn't appear to be a firm response date. You can say yes at any age, at any time of day or night. God will wait and will welcome you with open arms when you're ready. As we just learned a few minutes ago, one time God invited a boy named Samuel. Notice that children are always on the guest list, by the way. But at first, the invitation just confuses Samuel, like it might for many of us. It was the middle of the night, after all, and the word of God hadn't been heard in a very long time. The word was just as rare, in fact, as a precious diamond. So Samuel couldn't figure out who in the world was calling his name in the dim halls of the temple, where he was trying to get some sleep. Where was the gently persistent call, the small, soft breath of a voice coming from? He thought his mentor, Eli, the old priest, was calling him, but Eli knows better. I mean, Eli's vision is failing. He's out of practice at recognizing the invitation because of all the political and social upheaval in the land. It made it hard for God's voice to get through. Sounds a little familiar. But the old man could see and hear just enough to understand who it was who was sending the invitation to the boy. Next time Eli says to Samuel, say to that voice, speak, for your servant is listening. Listening. Part of this invitation to follow is just that. To listen, to stop doing whatever we are doing and not say a word until God has a chance to say a word. To be silently drawn by the strange but certain pull of God's claim on our lives. Even when you're doing the best listening you can possibly do, though, keep in mind that God's not going to give you the whole picture all at once. If you've seen the movie Selma, you've been reminded that soon after Martin Luther King Jr. accepted his call, he thought he would go on to be the pastor of a relatively small church and do a little preaching and lecturing around. Imagine. God clarifies the specifics of the invitation one piece at a time. The key is to listen and keep on listening. Listening is only part of the invitation. However, we're also called to participate in the changes God has in store. And that's where this holy invite gets tricky. God asked Samuel to say hard things to Eli, things Samuel is afraid to say, things that he must find a way to say. Can you see why some people might try to hide from God's summons? If you accept, you don't ever know what might be asked of you. You don't know what's in the envelope. You might have to initiate a conversation about a prickly issue with someone you've always respected. You might have to testify to a truth that will make you and everyone around you tingle with heavy anticipation. Through you, God might be getting ready to do something new. An old way will come to an end and a new way will begin, and you are invited to be part of the change. In fact, God might ask you to be the voice that announces the change that's coming. Could be. Or you might be asked like old Eli, invited to acknowledge our part in the corruption of the old way, as to relinquish our power and status for the love of the people around us and for the sake of the new thing God is about to do. Sometimes we're invited to find the courage to speak, and sometimes we're invited to find the courage to retreat. Again, in this movie, Selma, and even if you haven't seen it, know the history of the march to Montgomery, and think about why on that second attempt across the bridge, across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, why did Dr. King decide to stop that march with hundreds of people behind him? The marchers were ready. They were so close to the other side. Why not go on? Because Dr. King saw and he listened and he got the message that for the love of everyone there that day, they needed to turn back. We're invited to be part of the change that God has in store, and it takes all kinds of courage to respond. But how else will all people receive an invitation to cross the bridge to the beloved community once and for all? How else will the vision of the beloved community come true? How else will all God's children ever gather around the same table of abundance and justice and love if we can't find the courage? Yes, it's tough work, but if we stay under our fig trees, we are never going to get there. And in the words of a poet, if we have not struggled as hard as we can, at our strongest, how will we know what sustains us the longest? How will we know? what sustains us. God invites us to do the hard and courageous things to find out that what sustains us is not anything this world can give us. In fact, what sustains us the longest is not a thing. It is a who. Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary from Nazareth, a little town hardly on the Messiah watch map. And then the Son of God shows up there. Son of God, Son of Man, Rabbi, Teacher. You can call Jesus whatever your encounter with him leads you to call him. What matters is that his is the faith that will give you faith. His is the love that will hold you up. His is the voice that will give you the strength to sing and the ears to hear the words of this beautiful hymn, the real though far off hymn that hails a new creation. We are invited to follow Jesus, whose love will sustain us the longest, whose baptism in the River Jordan we just celebrated last Sunday. We don't have to go all the way in the water with him now. Maybe wade in just a bit and test it out. See what it feels like to give up control of our plan and our calendar and let him show us the way. Because he is the only one who will show us the way to the other side and beyond, to the place where angels dance and heaven and earth are one. Jesus is the one who can show us the way to that day when the glory comes, and it will be ours, and we will be sure that answering the invitation to follow is the path to the fullness of life God promises to each one of us. There's only one way to find out. Come and see! ! Amen. And friends, again, welcome to all of you, especially those of you who are worshiping with us for the first time this day. We are strengthened by your presence among us and hope that your faith has been strengthened and touched as well by your time here. We want to say that in the name of Jesus Christ and through his Spirit, we do bid you welcome to United Church of Chapel Hill. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. You are welcome here if you know what you believe, and you are welcome here if you're not quite sure what you believe, for here we are all the body of Christ. You are welcome here if you are a saint or a sinner, for God knows we are all of us both. You are welcome here no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey.